The nationwide shortage of baby formula is vaulting to the top of lawmakers' to-do lists. This morning, Democrats on the House Oversight Committee announced they'd look into it.
Let's talk about this, along with abortion and January 6th, with our Friday Politics Roundtable. Sahil Kapoor is Senior National Political Reporter for NBC News. Hi, Sahil.
Hi. It's great to be back.
Good to have you back. Chad Pergram is Congressional Correspondent for Fox News. Chad, hi. Happy Friday.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start by talking about baby formula. It is hard to find because of supply chain and recall issues, and Republicans are blaming the White House. Let's listen to Kathy McMorris Rogers, Congresswoman from Washington State.
Moms, support groups, nurses have been telling me that this is the biggest crisis that they have faced. President Biden and the FDA must do more. This is a matter of life or death. What will it take for the Biden administration to reverse its inflation, supply chain, and energy crises that are making the shortage worse?
Now, the White House is scrambling. It's meeting with producers and retailers, is trying to cut red tape to import more. But Sahil, does it surprise you that this has become a big political issue?
Not at all. This has turned into quite the mini crisis for the Biden administration, and it's emblematic of his presidency so far, where one economic issue after another has been thrown at him. There was inflation, the supply chain problems. It ties into these kitchen table issues that voters are primarily focused on. And the problem the president has is that there's no easy fix-it button here. Yes, they're talking to retailers. Yes, the FDA is looking to change policy, you know, for raising imports of infant formula. The Department of Agriculture is also encouraging states to allow WIC benefits, women, infant, and children benefits to be used for this. They're even talking about using the Defense Production Act to create more of this. It's an all-hands-on-deck approach, so the White House says, but there's no easy way to fix it. And the Republican response you played is also emblematic of what we've seen so far. They have tried to seize on these economic and kitchen table issues to damage the president politically, but I didn't hear a proposed solution there from Congresswoman McMorris Rogers. It's not easy to simply reverse inflation. It's not easy to simply fix supply chain problems. So Republicans have been short on solutions, but they have been quite aggressive in blaming the president and his party, which does control the House and the Senate, for economic problems around the country.
Well, and for his part, President Biden has blamed Trump supporters for some of these economic issues. Let's listen.
Believe me, I understand the frustration. But the fact is, congressional Republicans, not all of them, but the mega Republicans, are counting on you to be as frustrated by the pace of progress, which they have everything, they've done everything they can to slow down.
Chad, he is the president. Doesn't Joe Biden own this economy right now and these issues?
The voters certainly think that he does. I mean, that's an issue that Republicans are highlighting there. And every time you have one of these economic crises come up, as Hill talked about, you're going to have Republicans jump on President Biden and say, oh, look, it's gas prices. Oh, look, it's inflation. It's the economy. It's baby formula. Anything they can drive down on that. And they point out, what were most of the Democrats at the Capitol today focused on? Abortion. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, had a big rally. That certainly stokes their base there. But there's been criticism that the president and his administration was asleep at the switch on this. I just talked to Raja Krishnamoorthy, the Democratic congressman from Illinois, who's written a letter to the FDA, along with Carolyn Maloney of New York City, the chair of the Oversight Committee, you know, trying to get to the bottom of this. There's a hearing that's coming up in late May. But the problem is that's a couple weeks from now, you know, and voters are going to say, what are you doing right now? It's the price of meat. It's the price of gas. We can't find formula. It is these basic bread and butter issues that continue to trip up this administration.
All right. And Chad, on the abortion issue, you mentioned Democrats in the Senate this week tried and failed to pass a measure to make abortion legal nationwide. The Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell spoke to NPR about how the expected decision soon from the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade may be out of step with public opinion.
So for the Supreme Court to, on any issue, to reach a decision contrary to public opinion is exactly what the Supreme Court is about. It's to protect basic rights, even when majorities are in favor of something else. It happens all the time.
Chad, that may be true, but majorities matter at the polls, don't they?
they matter at the polls here. And this is where Mitch McConnell, in that interview, you know, he talked about a flag burning case back from the late 80s, which if you talk to 70-80% of the public, they were opposed to burning flags. But the Supreme Court back then said that this was a First Amendment issue. But here's the problem on this for Democrats. They have said, hey, you know, we are the party of pro-choice. Bob Casey, the Democratic senator from Pennsylvania, who heretofore had been mostly pro-choice, voted on this procedural motion just the other day. They couldn't even get 50 votes on their side. Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, was a no. The vote was 49-51. And the bigger problem here is that you hear from the left sometimes, oh, you have to change the filibuster. You have to turn off the filibuster. Well, that needs 60 votes. You know, you have to turn off a filibuster. You need a simple majority if you're going to do one of these, what they call on Capitol Hill, a nuclear option. You can't even get to 51 votes on this issue, let alone, get 51 votes for a filibuster. The Democrats don't have the math on this to work on their side right now, even though they might have the issue with, 70% of the population. Hmm.
Well, let's move to the House committee investigating the January 6th riots at the Capitol. In a rare move, they subpoenaed five fellow members of Congress, including the House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy, which in any other time would be extraordinary, Sahil. What did you make of this 1 month out from these public hearings?
Oh, it's still extraordinary. It's still unprecedented. The fact that they subpoenaed five members of Congress, including the House Minority Leader, is quite extraordinary for this moment. Now, the committee has been at odds about whether to take this step. There have been some advocating for it for quite some time, but there has been a reluctance. It is an unprecedented move for an oversight committee to subpoena sitting members of Congress. But the conclusion that this committee made was that this investigation is an extraordinarily unique type of thing. It's about an attempted insurrection on the United States Capitol, part of a plot to overturn the 2020 presidential election. And if they didn't do this, it's difficult to look back on this investigation and say they tried everything they could to get to the truth, which has been their mission. The five Republicans, of course, are Kevin McCarthy, as well as Jim Jordan, Scott Perry, Mo Brooks, Andy Biggs. And with McCarthy in particular, there is a phone call he had with then-President Trump on January 6th, which was believed to be quite heated. It's still not clear what exactly was said. These are two very senior leaders of the party, and it falls squarely within the scope of this investigation to try to get answers on that. That is the theory of this committee for doing so. Now, one of the reasons that the committee had been reluctant to do this is that it would set a precedent. Future majorities could also subpoena sitting members of Congress. What do they do if they don't comply? Are they going to ask the Justice Department to prosecute a sitting member of Congress for contempt of Congress? That would be another extraordinary step. But this is the decision they've taken now. And one of the coming off the House floor, I tried to ask Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy whether he believes, if he refuses to comply with the subpoena, whether Democrats next year, should he be Speaker, should his party be in the majority and issue subpoenas, whether he expects Democrats to comply. This could set a precedent two ways if these Republicans refuse to cooperate.
Chad, you cover the Hill. Your thoughts on this?
Well, the problem here is that Article 1, Section 5 of the Constitution says that the House and Senate have the right to discipline their own members. So if this goes to court or they send a criminal referral down to the DOJ, if they vote to hold them in contempt of Congress for not actually complying with the subpoena, they're going to say, wait a minute, legislative branch under Article 1 can take care of its own business. You also have what's called the speech or debate clause, where there's kind of a shield there for members of Congress looking into their actual congressional doings. So that's a problem. The other issue, though, is that this sets the table for these big hearings that'll start in around June 9th or so is what we're told here. And the idea that they still may actually ask these members to come and testify. And if they don't, there's a lot of stagecraft here. You could imagine a scenario where they put the nameplates out of each of the witnesses, Mr. McCarthy, Mr. Brooks. They have an empty chair there. They have the glass with the water beads of on the glass there. And they create this narrative. And then they bring up a witness or evidence or something that say, hey, you knew about this. And they're not here to answer those questions. And some of those hearings are going to be televised. Some of those hearings are going to be in prime time. So what they're really doing here is priming the pump for those hearings in June.
Well, before we wrap up here, I want to ask you both about Tuesday's Pennsylvania Senate primary. We have an unexpected surge on the Republican side by Kathy Barnett, a relative unknown. Here's a campaign video where her mother says she was pregnant with Kathy as a result of rape.
I don't want to use the word choice. She was going to be born. I didn't have a choice to say, you're going to live, I'm going to abort you. That wasn't a choice for me. And I thank God it wasn't a choice for me.
another child.
Sahil, what does this rise tell us about the Republican Party? About 30 seconds here.
Well, it shows the field is still unsettled. A Fox News poll that came out just a few days ago found a three-way race between the Trump-endorsed candidate Mehmet Oz, David McCormick, and now Kathy Barnett is right up there, and she is surging just at the right time. It shows that the other two candidates had not locked this up, neither of them, and Barnett has won a lot of anti-abortion voters, pro-life voters, with this argument. It kind of captures a lot of what the conversation in Washington has been with the expected fall of Roe versus Wade, and there is a strain of thinking that there should not be exceptions for rape and incest. And here we have Kathy Barnett, a candidate for Senate, speaking very directly to that. Remains to be seen how this will turn out on Tuesday.
Thanks. Sahil Kapoor of NBC News, Chad Pergram for Fox News. Thank you.